Okay, so thank you, Carla, for this interview today. I want to be able to pronounce your last name correctly.
Sure.
Can you say it for me, please?
It's Carla Viju.
Okay, thank you. And your full title?
I'm the Director of Tribal Relations.
Okay. So we have this Wisconsin Tribal Education Promise.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the reaction so far, about a year and a half in?
Yeah. So the Wisconsin Tribal Educational Promise is our effort to bring more Native students to campus by making it more accessible by providing the full cost of attendance to Wisconsin's Natives. And we worked with tribal leaders from across the state to create the program, and now we're seeing the fruits of those labors. You know, we're seeing our first class. We've got nearly 80 students in this first class, and we're hoping it will grow from here. You know, I personally have heard from students who've shared their stories and their excitement and their general pleasure with, you know, how they're able to attend UW-Madison when they thought maybe it wasn't possible, or they thought maybe they might have to take a job while they were doing their studies, and now they can focus on their major and their extracurricular activities and just being a student. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So 80 students, so does that include bachelor's and the unique aspect of having the opportunity for law and medical students?
Right, so we're closing in on 80, but people still can enroll through the end of the school year. Yes, we do have a pilot with for medical school and law school. The majority of those, the biggest majority of those, are for the undergraduate degree. But, you know, we are hearing from people across the country, even in particular, about that law aspect. There's a lot of excitement around the law school.
Right, so there's currently medical and law students already using the program.
Correct.
Right, so that's such a huge number in a relatively short time, the first year. How did you get that awareness out, especially even to high school seniors?
Well, so this first year, we made sure that the students who were already here were also eligible, so that made it a little bit easier. We wanted to make sure that we made it as easy as possible for people to enroll if they were eligible. So people got a notification, you know, when they enrolled. If you are a member of a Native Nation of Wisconsin, you know, click this link and go through this, you know, these few questions, and if you're eligible, we'll let you know. And you know, we wanted to make sure that we didn't make it a cumbersome process. We just wanted to make sure that people knew that this was available.
Take me back to the inception, the idea. Where did this idea initially come from, and how did you work with the tribal leaders to make it happen?
Well, I think, you know, across the country, there's been a move to make sure to include all sorts of voices on college campuses. And, you know, for Native Nations in particular, to be included in those voices that are on campuses. And so there are a number of college campuses across the country that already have tuition promises or tuition programs for Native students. And so we're not the first, I'll admit that. But, you know, this is something that people in the community have talked about for some time. And Chancellor Mnookin came from California, where they had recently enacted a similar tuition program, and she arrived on campus about 4 months before I did. And when I arrived, in our very first meeting, she said, "Hey, you know, we just did this in California. I think we should do it here." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Can we do it like right now?" And I was like, "Okay." And so, you know, we set out to do it the right way, and that means in consultation with our Native Nations, with our partners in the tribes. And so we set up a number of meetings with them and really let them kind of lead the way on what it would look like. And like I said, there's a number of tuition programs across the country. After those initial discussions, they made it clear that we should do more than tuition. And so we started looking at ways we could make that happen, and that's why our program includes the full cost of attendance, which means room, board, books, fees, and some extra money for, you know, other costs that are incurred by going to college. So, you know, I think we did a really good job in working with the tribes and listening to them and what they wanted and needed for their students, and here we are.
When you spoke to the tribes and they brought to you some concerns about students and you just being here with Native students. What are some of the barriers generationally that have happened where affording college, mm-hmm. continuing to afford college may have been a challenge?
Sure. UW-Madison is a very big school. A lot of our tribes here in Wisconsin are very rural and frankly very far away, several hours by car. And far away from communities that these people, these young people grew up in. And so we really wanted to make sure that when people got here, they felt, can I start that part over?
Sure.
Sorry.
Do you want me to ask again?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Tell me about some of the need that Native students.
Sorry. Yep, I can feel it. Yep, there you go. Okay.
Tell me about some of the need that Native students have and why they would want to take advantage of this program.
Well, so, okay, I'm going to start this all. You don't have to ask again.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking to the tribal leaders, they really wanted to make sure that the students, when they arrived, were taken well care of. The Native Nations here in Wisconsin, many of them are rural and very far away, geographically, several hours by car. And we're taking, their young people from those communities and bringing them here to a very big place that's very different from those communities. And so making sure that they had all the tools to be successful and having a place where they felt like they belonged and were welcomed was really important. And so looking at all aspects of the college experience, and that includes, having the ability to financially participate in things like travel abroad or extracurricular activities that they might not be able to if they didn't have the tribal promise, that was important.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about some of the requirements. We have our 11 federally recognized mm-hmm. tribes. So tell me about some of the requirements for potential students that want to be in this program and then to continue to be in the
sure.
program.
So for the promise, you need to be a Wisconsin resident and you need to be an enrolled member of one of Wisconsin's federally recognized tribes. Wisconsin's federally recognized tribes are each sovereign nations. That means they can determine their citizenship. And so when we talked to the tribes, they felt like that was a good starting place for eligibility. And so that's how we're going to start. And then, just when you get here, you have to be just like any other student and keep your grades and be a good student and a good community member. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Do they still have to continue the FAFSA form or already be accepted to UW-Madison, say for maybe high school seniors?
So you do have to get accepted,
yes.
Right? So that's the main thing is you do have to have the grades and get accepted to UW-Madison, just like everyone else. But once you're here, like I said, we try to make it as easy as possible for you to just upload your tribal enrollment information and get through the process of verifying that you're a tribal member. And then, when you're here, we try to connect with all the Native students with, people on campus who can make sure that you're connected to other Native students, Native faculty, Native staff, just so that you have a chance, if you'd want, to build community with other Natives here in Madison.
Do you have any current data on how many Native students are enrolled at the school?
Well, there is data. It's not perfect. It's people self-report. We get a wide variety of numbers that people share with us. We would think that there's probably about 300-ish students that are Native on campus. That's self-reported. That means that someone said, yeah, I'm Native. But that does not necessarily mean that they're enrolled in a tribe. It could be that they said, oh, my great-grandma's Native, but I'm also Latino, and I'm also, white. So it could be they could be all different nationalities and ethnicities. So it's hard to exactly categorize right now. But for now, now with this, we'll at least be able to capture who is enrolled from a Wisconsin tribe. Mm-hmm. And grow from there.
Have you heard from working with students, but anything from parents saying they couldn't continue or they're happy that their son or daughter has an opportunity to go and continue.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, when we were talking about the program as we were developing it, we would hear from parents, and that was really interesting, were parents who shared their stories of going to college and talked about how there wasn't any food security, for instance, like how they had to miss meals or how they lived on a can of peanuts for, you know, 2 days because they didn't have, you know, enough on their meal card, or how they had to take an extra job and their roommate, you know, got this really cool internship that they got to do for free. And so we got to hear all of these stories from parents, and I think that's what really swayed how we took a look at this program, because we wanted to take all of those things into account. Like, Native students deserve to have food security, they deserve to take those really neat internships, and they deserve to, like, do all of the other things that other students can do. So, yeah, I mean, we've heard from a lot of different people, a lot of different stories, and that's what shaped the whole thing.
Right. How is it being funded?
So this is being funded by internal funding. You know, our WFAA and others do fundraising for it. And so it's not a taxpayer-funded program. And, you know, we're pretty proud that people want to support this program. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be clear, for the medical and law students, does that also cover their housing as well?
It does not.
It does not. So for those students, it's just tuition fees and
tuition.
Books. Just tuition.
I think it's just, I'll double check for you, but I'm pretty sure it's tuition because those got added at the very end. Mm-hmm. I don't include this in the interview, but like, mm-hmm. I think because they had to do it separately because they were using their own money to pay for it.
Okay.
They were going separate from what the chancellor and I were working on.
Okay.
But I believe it's just tuition, and they're, you know, because they're not a traditional student, like where they would be staying in the dorms or mm-hmm. using the meal plan or mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
And I'll probably say that.
Yeah.
In the script.
Are you talking to Amanda White Eagle?
To who?
Amanda White Eagle. Mm-hmm. She's the Great Lakes Law Center director.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who would know the law student side. And she's the one who's been talking to law students around the country who are really interested in mm-hmm. coming here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So that brings me to a question I had here. Transfer students, within the state of Wisconsin,
yes.
Does it apply to them?
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, UW-Madison, like many other universities across the country, but we're here today on UW-Madison land that was owned by the Ho-Chunk original land. Can you tell me about that connection and why this program, The Promise, is so unique?
Yeah. So, you know, we are on the ancestral homeland of the Ho-Chunk Nation. In every direction you look from where we are right now, this was Ho-Chunk Nation. This was the land of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Let me start that over, because they weren't a nation back then. They were just the Ho-Chunk people. Okay. This is the ancestral homeland of the Ho-Chunk people. In every direction you look from where we are today, this was Ho-Chunk land, and the lakes, you know, all around us, these were places where people fished, people hunted, people had their families, people had community, people celebrated, they had their cultural ceremonies, they had their medicines and loved one another. They had, you know, all kinds of things here. And they were forcibly removed. And this university has spent some time coming to accept and share that story. And part of the reason this promise exists is because, you know, there is some recognition that that all happened. But there's also, you know, there's also the need and want to do what's right and good for Native people, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, this is Ho-Chunk ancestral land, and I think there's now some sense of pride in that and wanting to share and celebrate that history.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, you know, with this promise, a chance to give back, too.
How Have you come across any students who identify as Ho-Chunk?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of there's definitely some Ho-Chunk students on campus. We have what's called the First Nations Cultural Landscape Tour here on campus, and we share many sites that are culturally significant to the Ho-Chunk Nation. We take a walking tour, and we have Ho-Chunk Nation students who are part of like giving that tour. We do a lot of different things with the Ho-Chunk Nation here on campus. It's really, really nice to have them be partners with us in a lot of different things on campus. It's really nice to have, you know, their input and have them be partners with us in a lot of different things here.
Right. It's learning on your ancestral grounds. Yeah. It must maybe for them even feel spiritual.
Yeah, I'm Oneida, mm-hmm. So I'm not Ho-Chunk. You know, I grew up near Green Bay, I feel pretty grateful that some of the Ho-Chunk elders and Ho-Chunk community members here in the Madison area have been so willing and able to share with me so many stories and have been welcoming and, you know, been, you know, just like almost like aunties and grandmas to me, mm-hmm. since I've arrived, because they want the students here to be successful, and part of that is having leadership, you know, here on campus who knows those stories and those culturally significant things about that nation. So mm-hmm. it's really wonderful.
Tell me about some of the other support services that Native students can take advantage of on campus to feel community.
Yeah, there's a really nice community here on campus for Native students. We have a group, they call themselves the Relatives, and the Relative Collective. It started out with some aunties, and in Native culture, aunties are almost like your second mom, they're your mom. And the aunties are generally speaking like staff who are student focused. They help with student services. They work in areas like tutoring, mental health services. They plan activities for students like outings, dinners. They help the student, they support the students in some of the activities that the students are planning, like powwows. Mm-hmm. There's the uncles, you know, similar role. And now we have cousins, you know, so it's just a really supportive community. Just this past winter, the student organization Wangshik planned a winter round dance, and I was so proud of them. They planned this round dance. They had over 200 people show up to this winter round dance in December, and they had invited 7 drums, and 20 showed up. It was amazing. So you can see there's such strong support for Native students on this campus, and it's just so nice to see.
That's amazing. I would love to go to some of those events.
Yeah.
And there's a wellness house or a student house where Native students can mm-hmm. kind of hang out?
There is. There's an Indigenous Student Center. It's just, you know, it's actually right across the street, mm-hmm. right here. There's an Indigenous Student Center, and it's a gathering spot for students, but there's also some offices for the Native student orgs, and they have dinners there on Wednesday nights, and people can go there and do their homework and just hang out. And yeah, it's a really nice spot.
That's good. And so they can use this, say if someone is, you know, a sophomore, the promise won't retro and cover your freshman year, it'll be from that point forward.
Forward, yeah.
Okay. And so that must be a huge relief.
Yes, right. It'll take care of you from now till the end of your degree, correct.
And summer courses as well?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how it works.
Okay, I saw something that said it, you can, but then it may take less from the
right.
next fall
I'm
semester.
Sure the financial aid folks will explain it to me much mm-hmm. better.
One moment, please. I hope that we can somehow speak with a medical student. Mm. And see how their life has really been impacted by this.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be in it using the promise and graduating soon, potentially. Or because their time as medical students or as law students is a little shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think they're like a little bit separate because they're pilots. I don't know who those students might be, especially because I'm not down at the med school, mm-hmm. the law school, but yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know who they are, but. And I think Victoria was going to help try and figure out some students for you.
Okay. Also, the tribe Bretherton is not a federally recognized
Correct.
Tribe. So students from that tribe, they would not be eligible for the
Correct.
Program.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of legal precedence that surrounds being a federally recognized tribe. And as I mentioned, federally recognized tribes are sovereign nations who determine citizenship. And so that's a political classification. It's not a race or ethnicity. Mm. And so that's the reason why we can offer this program, because it's not a race or ethnicity. It's a citizenship of a nation. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we had chose that particular eligibility requirement.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you think the promise will last, or we don't know?
Well, it's the promise is intended to be forever, right? I mean, Native American students have been around, you know, since the beginning of what is now the United States, been around since the inception of what is now this country, and I think the goal is to make sure that they're taken care of forever.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Correct. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, in my culture, we talk about taking care of the next seven generations, and that means that we make sure that decisions we make for today aren't just for ourselves or for our kids, but they are for the next seven generations. So they benefit not just us or our own families or our own kids, but they benefit everyone out into the future.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No.
Okay, I think I got everything. One moment. Okay, I think that's everything.
Did you want to...